Let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer, and we will get started this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day that you have given to us, and I thank you so much for an opportunity, Lord, to have a message here that is specifically about how we raise our children. And Lord, many of us here may have children in the process of raising them, or they may be out of the house, or some still at the house, or whatever it may be. But Lord, you've made it very clear to us as parents that parenting doesn't stop just because they're not in under our roof. The parenting, Lord, continues throughout our entire life. That it is a dedication that you ask of us. And I pray, Lord, that as we talk about this morning and we see these passages from your word, we'd understand the importance of vows. We'd understand the importance of what is being said, that we would understand the importance of having a child in this life, and that, Lord, we would not take these things lightly. I thank you again so much for this opportunity, Lord, this morning to have this message, to do these things, and I pray that they would all be glorifying and honoring unto you and who you are. And all of this I do ask and pray in your Son's precious and most holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 22, and in verse 6, we have a very common verse that is used in regards to parenting. And I want to use this, if you will, as a bit of a launching point this morning. And when it comes to parenting, there's, you know, again, I have several books on parenting in my library. Some of them I've, you know, gone through, read. They've got some great material. Other ones I've gone through and read, and I have either just thrown it away or done something else with it. Because I will tell you this, you know, when it comes to parenting, everybody's going to give you advice. This is what I always say. If you want advice, free advice, unsolicited advice, there's three things you need to do in your life. One, you can be a pastor. You'll get a free unsolicited advice about how to do that. Number two, get married. You'll get free unsolicited advice about what you need to do for your wedding and for your marriage. And number three is have a child. You'll get free unsolicited advice. And sometimes I will tell you this, that free unsolicited advice generally may not be appropriate. Some of it is just bad advice. I mean, we've all heard bad advice. But again, when we as Christians and as believers realize that the Word of God was put here so that we would have instruction, that we would have direction for it, we need to understand that these things are what God desires, and it's not advice, but it's commandments. It's commandments. This isn't something like, well, you know, I kind of suggest you do this. This is something that we need to make sure that what we do is we say, hey, I'm going to obey this. I'm going to do this because I want to please the Lord. So in Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I want to make sure that we understand this. People often will try to claim this verse as a promise. This is not a promise. Okay? This is not something that somebody could say, well, I did what I was supposed to do, and now God has made a promise that child is going to do exactly what he's supposed to do. No, because there's something called free will. And a person's going to make a choice. And a person's going to make a decision how to do things. And they're going to make errors along the way, and there's going to be sin along the way, and there's going to be right things that they do, and there's going to be wrong things that they do, and those things are going to exist. But what we do is we take a look at exactly what we're supposed to be doing, and that is as a parent and as adults, and this applies to even teachers, we are supposed to train in a certain way. We are supposed to train in a certain way. And the key word that we see in this passage, where it says, train up a child in the way that he should go. I mean, you take a look at that word should, and what is that doing? That's expressing something that is probable. It's expressing something that is, if you will, sometimes conditional. It's referring to a possible event or a situation, and it's used often with that word that to, if you will, express something that is going to be a purpose about what should be done. And that's exactly what we have here. We should train up a child in the way that he should go so that he won't depart from it. And I'll tell you this, sometimes in this day and age, as I said in this morning Sunday school class, we have a lot of people that just don't understand parenting, and the child is ruling the house and it's not the parents. Children should never rule the house. That's a backwards thinking. That's just going to create chaos, and that's going to create problems. So that's not the way, something that we should be doing. But we should be engaged in that activity of training that child for the purpose, if you will, putting a wall about them. The idea is that we put a wall of commandments around them. What does the psalmist say? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So we understand that this is what the Word of God is going to do. When we take the Word of God and we are imparting it to children, to babies, to whatever, even older adult children, what we're doing is we're giving them some protection. We're giving them some things that they can use in their life to make judgments, to discern what is right and what is wrong, to discern what is right and what is almost right, to actually use those things to very clearly glorify God in what they say and what they do. This is the idea, is we should be raising children in a manner that when they get to the world, they actually have something to use. Because I will tell you this, if we do not give them the Word of God, the world will fill it with something else. And the something else out there is pretty horrible. It's dangerous. It's not glorifying to God, and it will lead a child into some sinful behaviors that are going to have some serious consequences. Now look, this is what we should be doing. And I do understand that a child does have their own purpose. And when we do a child dedication like this, this is not to put upon God saying that God's going to take care of the child in such a way that he's going to make him always do right. Because there have been children that have been dedicated to the Lord that have made bad decisions, that are away from God right now. But the dedication part isn't that the parent gets to go, Lord, this is yours now, and go like this, and wash their hands of it. No, the dedication part comes from the parents being dedicated to the commandments of God to train. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. And I get it. We all understand that there are wayward children. We all understand that that's happened. I myself went wayward at one point. And I grew up in a Christian home. And I was making really bad, dumb decisions and choices. And some of them still have consequences today. That being said, the Lord used what my parents taught me to get me to reflect and say, this is not right. Because what we do is we want them to have a strong sense and a proper, if you will, healthy mechanism that brings conviction in their life when they do something wrong. We find that with David. When King David, before he was king, and he went and he did something, and he put his hand towards Saul, the anointed one of God, who was, yes, he was doing what was wrong, but God didn't send him there to do certain things. And what happened? It says that David's heart was smote. What was that? That was conviction of God saying, you probably shouldn't have done that. Or not even a probably, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have done that. So what did David do? David waited on the Lord for the Lord to handle it and put David in power when David was going to be in power. And he allowed the Lord to take care of Saul. And the Lord did. Lord handled the situation better than David could. Better than David could. But this is what we should be doing. We should be giving them these things so that they have that proper and healthy mechanism that comes in and says when they're doing something wrong, there's a verse that pops into their mind. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not do this. I mean, those type of things that should be there about what they should be doing. The things over in Galatians about bear ye one another's burdens. The things in 1 Corinthians about excel at edifying. The things in 1 Corinthians 13 that talks about charity being the principal thing. The things that it says in 1 John about loving one another. Those commandments, that should all be there so that when they do violate those things, that the Word of God comes and the Holy Spirit uses it to direct them and to train them even further. We're giving them the principal building blocks for decision-making in their life. Judgment. You take a look over at Ephesians chapter 6, and there's another passage that is very familiar with this. Ephesians chapter 6. And there's a lot to break down in this verse. We're not going to break all of it down. But there's some important things there. And again, I want to make sure that we all understand this. And I do have this double underlined in my Bible, that word fathers in Ephesians chapter 6. But there is a principle that, even mothers need to understand this too. Okay? Well, there is a heavier weight upon fathers to make sure that they're not doing these things. And it says in verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. We're supposed to provoke each other unto love and unto good works. Provocation is correct, but what you're provoking them unto may not be. If you're provoking somebody unto sin, unto hatred, unto violence, unto anger, unto wrath, you're doing it wrong. What are we supposed to do? We are supposed to provoke them unto love, unto the good works. Here it says, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. What do we see? It should be something that is an instructional format. Parenting is an instructional format. It's not a friendship. Okay? That's a different type of relationship. I understand you want to be your child's friend. You want them to come to you. But a friend is a friend. And a friend has a different role. And a friend has a different capacity. Children don't need a friend for a parent. They need an authority for a parent. There's a big difference. You're like, well, I don't want to be the authoritarian. No, God's not saying to be authoritarian because he's saying don't provoke your children unto wrath. But what he's supposed to do is you're supposed to be an authority in the Word of God to teach them and to instruct them into the right decision-making process. Have you ever seen a young person begin to enter into their life and they start making some bad decisions? Maybe it was you. Maybe as soon as you hit 18, maybe even before 18, you decided to make some really bad decisions. Let's just call them what they are, sinful decisions. And it began a pattern of sinful behavior in your life against the Word of God. Now look, I understand the relationship that's there, but the parent is supposed to be the one that begins instructing and begins showing that child, saying, hey, here's the decisions you need to be making according to the Word of God. The primary thing that you as a parent need to focus on is this. Is your child trusting Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? That's the first thing you need to do. Otherwise, anything that you teach them from this book is not going to make sense. Because the preaching of the cross to them that perish is what? Foolishness. And foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. So guess what they're going to gravitate towards? Foolishness. But I will tell you this, when you start teaching them wisdom from the Word of God and you ensure that their trust in Christ as their Savior, there is a profession of faith, and you should know the testimony of your child, your children. You should ask them. That should be something that is, if you will, part of your discussion process. You should want to know that. And when you're teaching, when you're bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, the only way that the nurture and the admonition of the Lord is going to take place is if that child is trusting Christ as their Savior. Don't have the typical Christian child that grows up in church and thinks they're saved because they grew up in church.
Right.
Church will not save you. Jesus Christ will. Teach them that. Implore them to understand the Word of God. You can't force it on them, okay? Let's just be careful with that. You cannot force that upon them. But you want to work on their heart in a very tender and compassionate way that you should, according to the Word of God. Berating them, beating them down, calling them names, things of that nature. That doesn't educate. That doesn't instruct. That's not nurturing. That's harmful behavior. As a matter of fact, that's sinful behavior, that it's sinful words that God says you should not do. You should avoid that. You should avoid it. But what does he say here? Nurture and admonition of the Lord. You're nurturing that child. You're admonishing them to do what is right. You're admonishing them to follow the Lord. The first step is again, teaching them and showing them the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they would trust Christ as their Savior, have a forgiveness of sins, have a relationship with their Lord and their God, and also to make sure that they have that home in heaven. That's what you're doing in the first step. The next step is to teach them so in the Word of God so that they can make those right decisions. Turn over to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This again is another familiar passage that we see when we start talking about children, when we start talking about parenting. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and in verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." This is something that was a commandment to Israel, but I will tell you this, this is an application to us today. This is what we should be doing. And it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." Okay, that is not something you're supposed to teach your child in this case. Okay, now, yes, you should teach that to him, but I want you to understand what he's saying here first and foremost. He's saying, Israel, you need to listen to this. The first thing you need to do before you start teaching your children is you need to get that principle down first. You can't teach that principle to a child if you don't do that. How can you teach a child to follow the ways of the Lord, to love the Lord, if you don't teach him anything about how important the Word of God is? If you don't teach him about how important the fellowship of the saints is? If you don't teach them the importance of reading and studying and memorizing and meditating and praying in their Christian life? How can you can't. If you're not doing those things, guess what? Your child won't do those things. I've watched for generations of individuals that begin to discount the importance of things of God. And guess what? When their children raise up, they wonder why their child is doing what they're doing. Many times it's because they never took it serious in the first place as a parent. This is serious business. This is serious stuff. The Lord has seen it fit to give you a child that you are going to have to raise. It's something we take very serious. And this is what we do in verse 6. And these words, once you get that principle down, now you can teach it. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And again, it's not up here. It's not in your head. It's not just something that you, if you will, have an intellectual assent about. It is something that is in your heart, that is permeating your heart, and has caused the attitude of your heart to be inclined unto the Lord, His Word, and His Spirit. And He says here in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, when thou shalt bind them, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of the house and of thy house and on thy gates. You know what that means? That means everywhere. Parenting isn't just something that you do temporarily. Parenting isn't something that you turn on and you turn off. Parenting is something that you do, if you will, and to use a very, I know it's going to, you know, it'll probably make somebody's skin crawl here, a holistic sense. What does that mean? It means the entirety of everything. It means what? It means, as it says there, when, make it very clear here, is when they are, when they're sitting in thine house. When they're at rest, you need to be instructing them and teaching them. When they are walking, you need to train them in the right way to walk. You need to train them in the right way to what rest. You need to train them in the right way to walk. You need to train them in the right way to lie down, and if you will, to actually have sleep. You know, in this day and age, I have two college students. And I understand college student life. And when their deadlines are due, the nights blend into the mornings. Because I've done that myself. But I'll tell you this, you know what? We need to teach the children to rest appropriately. And we teach them that, you know, hey, look, if you don't get sleep, it will mess with you. You will not think right. You won't. If you have somebody that you want to get some information out of, you know what the first thing you do? Don't let them sleep. Don't let them sleep. Yeah. Before we break out the sodium pentothal, you know, you want to make sure that you kind of lead them into that in the, if you will, the enhanced interrogation techniques. Okay? Sleep deprivation will get them to break, hopefully. If not, there's other methods. But sleep deprivation is generally one of the best ways to do it. Because what are they going to do? They're going to get to a point where they're going to get tired and they're going to slip. They're going to give you the information because they just want, you know, they are going to crave, their body is going to say, just give them what they want so I can get some sleep. And you promise somebody a comfy bed and a warm room and a quiet place and a pillow and a blanket, when you've deprived them of that, guess what they're going to do? They're going to want it. And they're probably going to tell you what you need. I will tell you this, the devil will deprive you of your rest in Christ spiritually so that you will make mistakes.
Right.
So that you will fall into sin. So that you won't see the snare. You know what your job is, parent? Understand where the snares are and teach them how to identify the snares. And they can't do that if they're not resting appropriately. You don't get sleep, man, you will make some dumb decisions. Teach them here when they lie us down. What is it they should be doing? They should be thinking about the Lord. when they rise up, what do they should they be doing? Thinking about the Lord. I was talking with somebody today. He was talking about how the first thing he does when he gets up in the morning is he reads his Bible. What does he do when he goes to sleep? He reads his Bible. He said that's the only quiet time he has, though. But it should be true. The Lord talks about that. How we're supposed to do these things. Very clearly he shows it here. And what do? We should have them train them so that when they think about what they're going to do with their hands, they actually do those things correctly. According to the Word of God. According to the will of God. Bind them as a sign upon thine hand. So anytime they do something, they're thinking about what God has told them to do. What they've been taught from the Scriptures. What they've been taught as a parent. And it says here, as frontlets between thine eyes. And what is that? Everything they see it through the view of the Word of God. I'll tell you this, you know, there's the phrase that people see things sometimes through rose-colored glasses. And it basically means that they're sometimes oblivious to certain things and they always see, quote-unquote, the positive side of stuff. I'll tell you this, the Word of God is the correct way to see things. You shouldn't be viewing things always in the positive because there are some negatives. You shouldn't always be viewing things in a negative aspect. You know what you need to be viewing them in? In the Word of God, according to the Holy Spirit, with love, joy, peace, I mean, you know, all the entire fruit of the Spirit. That's how we should be doing it. We train them up in such a way. This is how we train them. This is how we train them. And I will tell you this, what you teach, you need to live in your life. You need to live in your life. And I will tell you this, parent, when you don't do that, when you don't set the right example, listen up. Own it. Admit it. Say, you know what? I just sinned. You get it right with God, and then you get it right with the child. You get it right with the one that you're teaching. Because if you can't admit sin, and you can't admit when correction and conviction comes in your life, how are you going to teach that to the child? You know what? You need to make sure you teach your child those words. I apologize. Will you forgive me? That is what you need to teach them. You're like, well, I shouldn't have to do that to a child. You should. David did. David fessed up to some stuff. David had to admit it. Solomon had to admit it. You know how hard it was probably for Solomon to realize he's one of the wisest men in the world, and here he is, and he writes all these proverbs and all this wisdom that he's been given from God, and he makes stupid decisions. Dumb decisions. And the Lord has to correct him on it. And here he is at the last part of his life, and what does God tell him? I want you to write a book. And I want you to have it, you know, call it Ecclesiastes. And I want you to preach to these people. I want you to take ownership of what you did, what you didn't do, and show them the difference. Who? If Solomon had to write that book, we as parents should be able to write that ourselves. We should be able to say, I messed up. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have treated you that way. I shouldn't have done those things. Fathers, if you provoke them unto wrath, own it. Take responsibility. Take accountability and say, I am going to change and I'm not going to do that. I am going to repent of what I did. Don't justify it. Don't do this and just say, well, yeah, you know, I said those things in anger because you just made me so mad. Please don't do that. You know what you're teaching your child? You're teaching your child to gaslight them. Someone else. You're going to raise up a whole generation of narcissists. Don't teach them that. Don't use guilt trips. Don't do that type of stuff. You know what you know how you teach a child? You teach him from the Word of God. Thank God, God doesn't use guilt trips on you. You're like, well, no, he doesn't. He shows you where your guilt is. There's conviction. The appropriate right way. And I want to make this clear when we start talking about what this is. This is a faithful thing that we're supposed to be engaged in as parents. We're told to be faithful to instruct the child, not in the ways of the world, but in the ways of God. According to Him, according to what He wants. We're told to be faithful in disciplining them in the sight of the Lord. And I'm not talking about discipline such as like corporal punishment or you know, standing in the corner or a timeout. I'm talking about disciplining as in training them and teaching them to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Teaching them to be Christian. And not the way that the world thinks of Christians today because of the bad examples that have been set. But Christians according to the Word of God. Somebody that is wanting to pursue the Prince of Peace and pursue His righteousness. To find His will. To grow in it every single day. But most importantly, to do it. Parents, we need to be faithful in that. This is what He's called us to do. This is what He's called us to do. I'm going to make a little bit of a bold statement here, but I want us to be very clear on this. The Lord doesn't call us to save our children. Because you can't. Now look, I understand this. That if one of my daughters called me and they said something was wrong, and they were in trouble and somebody was harassing her or something, I guarantee you I would be on the road or in the air, probably on the road, because I'd have stuff in tow, on my way to Pensacola, Florida. And I'd also be calling some favors in. We like to think that way. But look, I'm not my daughter's savior. Their husbands won't be their savior, by the way. Their children won't be their savior. There's only one Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. That's it. There's no other way. There's no back door to heaven. There's no alternate route. It's just through Jesus Christ and Him alone. So what we need? We need to teach them to seek the Lord. To seek the Lord. This is what we see in the book of Deuteronomy. And I'll say this. It's kind of a quote, a little bit of a quote. Parenting isn't like a vending machine. Okay? You don't do certain things and press a certain button and get what you want to come out. It's not like where you go, as one guy said, where you put in your money and you press E5 and out comes the M&Ms. That's not parenting. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, and Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, isn't if you do those things, and all, you know, this is going to be the outcome. Because it's not about the outcome. It's about being faithful to do what God has commanded us as parents to do. The outcome is going to rest upon that individual that makes those choices to either seek God or to not. That's what it is. A child dedication is not a promise that the Lord will magically, if you will, make that child righteous. That's just not the case. But what it is it's the pledge and a vow of the parents that they're going to dedicate their lives and dedicate their efforts to the Lord to be faithful in the commandments that have been given to parents, regardless of what that outcome is, they're still going to be faithful, and they are going to trust the Lord that He will be faithful, making sure that they don't try to interfere and be God in that child's life. The Bible says a lot about making a vow. The Bible says a lot about making a pledge. And when we take a look at what the Bible says about us as parents, the dedication of that child is about our hearts and what we are going to do. And this morning, that's what this is about. Phil and Letty have made a decision that they are going to pledge and vow to God, they're going to raise Caleb according to this book. That's a weighty vow. That's a serious vow that they're entering into this morning. And the purpose behind it isn't, if you will, to give them some sort of opting out of saying, hey, well, I did what I did. I dedicated the child, and you know that's up to the Lord now. No. They're dedicating their lives and pledging their lives to be obedient to Christ. That is truly what dedication of a child is about. I'm going to have Phil and Letty come up. I've known Phil for a long time. I've known the Hendrick family for a long time. I consider them all very much my friends. I consider Phil a dear brother in Christ. And I consider Letty a dear sister in Christ. And what we're doing this morning is very clearly they are pledging to say they're going to follow what Deuteronomy says. They're going to follow what Proverbs says. They're going to follow what Ephesians says. And they're going to do it diligently. And this is something that, you know what, along the way, we as believers, we're going to help them. Because that's what believers do. We come alongside and we support. Not give unsolicited advice. But you know what we do? We pray. You need to pray for Phil and Letty. You need to pray for Caleb. You need to pray for the grandparents. You need to pray for those that may have to take over should something, God forbid, happen to Phil and Letty. Because then those vows and those pledges become theirs. These are commandments. And we find that throughout Scripture, over there even in the book of Ezra, where they made a pledge when they heard the word of God, they said, we will do what is right. And they are choosing to do what is right today. Phil and Letty, I know you guys are very serious about this. And the fact that you guys are making this desire known to everyone is of the utmost importance and is of the utmost seriousness. And I'm not saying this to weigh it down. This is a joyous occasion. When somebody chooses to say, I will follow Christ, which is what you guys are doing, it is something to be joyful about. And I'll be committing myself to praying for you constantly. Because parenting, as you know, is already... They're not new parents, okay? Just so we clarify this. They already understand this. But what they're entering into is this pledge and this vow this morning. I want to go ahead and pray for Caleb, pray for Phil, and pray for Letty. And then we're going to have them signed a little document, a little certificate over here. It is just something that they can put up that is, if you will, something they can put on their doorpost, if you will, to remind them, to point back, to point their other children and say, this is the pledge we're making. Not for us to hold them accountable. God's going to hold them accountable. Christ will do that. The Word of God will do that. The Holy Spirit is far better at convicting than any of us ever are. Amen?
Amen.
So this is that's what this is about. There's no special, if you will, dispensation given. There's no special, if you will, blessing that's going to protect the child. But what this is a very serious pledge that they have made. And it's something to truly be celebrated. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much again for this time. I thank you so much for Phil and Letty's desire, Lord, to follow you. And that, Lord, as they are saying this child is yours, and they're recognizing that it is a gift from you, that they're recognizing the importance behind it, that, Lord, they would truly commit their hearts, their attitudes, their mind, their bodies, and everything you've given them to raising this child and their other children, Lord, in that nurture and admonition of you, to be pleasing in your sight, to be pleasing in a way that glorifies who you are and what you've done. I pray for Caleb. I pray, Lord, that you would just use him mightily, that as he is just a small infant now, that, Lord, I pray that when he trusts you as his Savior, that, Lord, he would have a desire to please you in all things because of the example and the teachings that Phil and Letty have set in their lives. I pray for Phil, Lord, that you would raise him up to be a godly father, that, Lord, you would work in his heart, that he would desire to teach his children and teach Caleb the ways of you. I pray, Lord, for Letty, that you would just use her and work in her heart, Lord, to be a mother that instructs, that is a lawgiver, that is one that shows truly what it means to protect and to guard. That, Lord, both of them as parents together would be unified with a singular voice of your word, your instruction, your principles, your statutes, your precepts, and your commandments. I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to bless them as they have already been blessed above measure. That, Lord, you would just use them all to be examples of what you desire as godly parents. I thank you again, Lord, for their heart. I thank you again for this desire. I thank you again, Lord, for Caleb, his little life that we have here. It is so precious and so delicate that, Lord, we would have an understanding of how important that life is, each life. And that, Lord, we as a congregation, that, Lord, we'd be helpful, would be comforting. We'd minister grace unto Phil, Letty, their children, and Caleb. That, Lord, your name would be lifted up, that you would be magnified above all. All of this I do ask and pray in your Son's precious and most holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.